Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Friday to you. Well, I'm about to tell you something that you already know. You ready for it? Marriage is hard sometimes, but God is good all the time. And maybe you're in a place today of wanting to give up on your marriage. Well, my guest today says that each marriage is made up of seven rings, and there's something in each one of these rings that can strengthen and ground our relationship with our spouse and with the Lord. In a moment here, I'll get Jackie Bledsoe on. He's the author of The Seven Rings of Marriage, your model for a lasting and fulfilling marriage. Super interesting book. Just one quick announcement, actually three quick announcements here first before I get Jackie on. First of all, we are so excited to announce that our new station, 1290 AM, is on in the Hartford, Connecticut area. Welcome to you who are listening and tuning in from the Hartford area. So glad to have you part of the Faith Radio family. And this is for you who are listening from that area as well as anybody in the Faith Radio audience. If you're brand new to Faith Radio, we have a welcome gift filled with information about Faith Radio and just some encouraging content for you. We'll get it to you for free if you just visit our website, myfaithradio.com. Request your welcome gift today, and we'll get that in the mail. Finally, have you ever wondered what heaven will be really like? Well, Living on the Edge is offering the entire MP3 album of Chip Ingram's popular series, The Real Heaven, What the Bible Actually Says. He's offering it for free. Again, you can visit our website, myfaithradio.com, to take advantage of this special offer from the ministry of Chip Ingram. And special thanks to all of you who prayerfully and financially support Faith Radio. We couldn't do this journey without you, and we wouldn't want to. So glad to have you listening today. Well, let me tell you about my first hour guest. We'll get him on the show. Jackie Bledsoe is a professional blogger, author, and speaker. But first and foremost, he's a husband and a father. He encourages men to better lead and love their families through his blog, JackieBledsoe.com. He and his wife, Stefana, have been married since 2001, and they live in Indianapolis with their daughter and two sons. Jackie, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Susie.
Absolutely. Well, we love to start out our conversations, Jackie, every single day talking scripture. And I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or a verse that just God's been speaking about these days.
Yeah, I'll share my favorite passage of all time, and that is Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. And if you'll allow me to read it, it's, be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Wow, that is a powerful passage. When did that become kind of a life passage for you?
Oh, wow, it's been several years. I would say probably at least 10 years now. And it was just at this point in time where I just felt like God was calling me to be courageous, to really to step up and to step into what he was calling me to do. And, of course, that involved fatherhood and marriage at the time as well. But that book is my favorite book in the Bible, and our son is actually named Joshua after the book of Joshua. Mm. So it is really important to me and to our family.
And, you know, the idea, and it's mentioned over and over again in Scripture, for us to be courageous implies that we have a choice in the matter. We can cower our heads and sort of play not to lose, or we can rise up in faith and play to win, which requires courage. I mean, it really does call us to dig a little deeper than our flesh would want us to, right?
Definitely. And it also lets us know that there are going to be times where we're going to be tempted to be afraid,
yeah,
to not be courageous. So he gave us that in advance. knowing, you know, when you look in context at Joshua, he knew what Joshua was going to face. So he was giving him some encouragement, some instructions ahead of time. So when he came to that point, he would be able to face them courageously and strong. And most importantly, he gave us the instructions on what to do, is to stay close to him, to keep his word in our mouths and not turn from or to the right or to the left. He knew that's what we would need to be strong and courageous.
So good. Well, Jackie, sometimes we read a statement, and depending on which word or syllable we emphasize, the statement can mean different things. And you say the best marriage advice you ever read was on an online blog, and here it is. Marriage isn't for you. And I read that, and I had to read it again, and then I thought, okay, now I know where he's going with this. But talk about why that piece of advice smacked you upside the head so hard, but it really has been something that's I would say, framed your view, it seems, of marriage.
Yes, it was something I read. It was a blog post that someone wrote, and it was actually the advice of this writer received from his father when he was having some doubts or some challenges about marriage. But, you know, marriage isn't for you, meaning marriage is 100% unselfish. So, or at least it should be when it functions mm-hmm. best. So it's not about our – I'm not getting married to get for my satisfaction. It's not about me, but it's about the person that you married, and it's about all those that are connected with you when you join together in that marriage. So your children, of course, your family, your friends, your community, everyone. It's not about you. And I think a lot of times the challenges in marriage today is people are getting married for themselves and their own reasons versus knowing that this is a selfless thing that I'm entering into.
And isn't that typically the downfall of marriage, if a marriage finds himself, if a couple finds themselves in a stagnant place, a dull place, a loveless place, oftentimes, if not all the time, you can retrace your steps where one or both are reacting selfishly.
Yeah, when we are focusing on self instead of serving our spouses, and it's about what we want, and most of the time those what we want is not always going to line up with what he or she wants. So when we get in that mode, we're just not meeting needs. And at the end of the day, when needs aren't met, then other breakdowns begin to start to happen. And that begins when we're selfish.
Hmm. When you shared how you and your wife started out in marriage, I appreciated this. You said you lived in minute by minute and moment by emotion-driven moment. I thought that was so well put, because I think lots of marriages function this way, minute by minute and moment by emotion-driven moment. Talk about what that was like. Bring us back to that place and what that was like for you.
Yes, it was minute by minute, as I said, most emotion by emotion. So how we interacted and talked to or treated one another was based on the emotion. You know, and that emotion could come from something that I did to her or she did to me, or something that came externally into our marriage and had us down, had us upset, or had us feeling good. But we let those emotions dictate our actions versus us choosing the action and letting that dictate our emotions. But it's a place that I think married couples find themselves in until we realize that we have, like you said earlier about the Joshua scripture, we have a choice. We have an active choice to choose to love our spouse, no matter if they're not being lovable at the time, to communicate in a way when we speak in love, to not hold records of wrongs, all those things we have a choice to do. But, that would appear in our relationship and our marriage when we didn't. It was just kind of reacting all the way around from both of us.
When you talk about that you joined a class at church to learn new marriage skills, you realized, you know, we need outside help here. I thought it was so interesting, Jackie, that your circle of friends also changed. And I want you to just say a word about that, about the significance of relationships and how friendships actually factor in or can factor into the success or failure of our marriage.
Yeah, they play a huge factor. When we were married, we had zero married friends. So we both were, of course, hanging out with our single friends, and then we were married. So we didn't have anybody that had the same perspective that we had. So in essence, we were kind of a lonely couple together, where the friends that we had, they weren't really conducive to growing our marriage. And then we didn't really have a model for what Christ says about marriage until we took the class at our church and we met a pastor and his wife, and they taught us the principles in that class, and then they kind of took us under their wing and counseled us and things like that. But in that class, we met other couples who had a heart for Christ and who had a heart for marriage and were actively seeking to improve their marriage. And then we started to change the circle because of that. So one couple that we connect with in that class took the initiative and started some small groups. We came together in a marriage small group, and that led to meeting the next couple and the next couple. And, you know, before we knew it, we had this really, really strong life group, this really strong small group that we were literally living life together. We were sharing experiences in marriage. We were sharing frustrations. We were holding one another accountable. And we're certain today, without that small group and those relationships, that our marriage would not, may not even be here today, but it definitely wouldn't be as strong as it is. And there's, you know, story after story that happened in there. Some funny, some we look back and we're like, wow, I can't believe we went through that, that impacted our marriage through that season. And it was a season that God knew we needed. We, like I said, we were lonely in where we were going in our marriage because we didn't have the peers who were had hearts for Christ and who were not married or they were single. So we needed someone, and he brought us that in the form of a small group that, you know, or some churches, our current church, we actually have small groups that are established through the church, but we organically found this just by seeking, and God answered our prayer in that area.
Well, you put yourself in a position, first of all, by attending the class saying, we need help. I mean, that took humility. That took some initiative. And by taking that first step, God revealed the next step and the next step. You know, someone once said that this is a paraphrase of a quote I read years ago, but something to the effect of, dangerous is the sympathy of a fool. And it made me think of a years ago when a friend came to me who was having a hard time in marriage, and a fellow Christian friend told her, God would want you happy, and maybe God's preparing you for a better husband than this one. And she told me that, and I said, turn a deaf ear, walk away from that friend. That is the sympathy of a fool. And so not only being lonely and just hanging with single friends can be tricky, but also having friends who will sing your song of sympathy when you really don't need it. Love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, we had, I'll share a story, and I think it speaks really well to it, is within that small group, one of the couples very close to us, Stefana, my wife and I were going through some challenges at one point in our marriage, and we weren't speaking. We were having we couldn't even communicate. And it reached a point of frustration for me that I didn't have any words to say, so I just left. I walked out of, we were staying in an apartment at the time, so I walked out of the apartment, didn't say bye or anything, did not know where I was going, and really didn't know when I was coming home. You know, I knew eventually I would come home, but I didn't know if that was in 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, the next morning, or what. I was not leaving the marriage, but I was just frustrated, and we could not communicate, and this was like days that we weren't communicating. So when I finally came to my senses, I came back home and opened the door to our apartment, and straight down the hallway, I could see a good friend of mine who's a part of the small group sitting in the middle of our floor wearing my basketball shorts. And I'm thinking, like, what in the world? What is going on? And so as I walk in, I hear Stefana, my wife, and his wife in the other room talking. And so I quickly realized, like, oh, they are here. It's basically an intervention into our marriage. And I was kind of the subject because I was the one that walked out. But what had happened, Stefana had spoken with the wife and let her know that we were struggling and having problems. And we weren't talking, and I left, and she didn't know what was up. And they literally left work that day. We're in Indianapolis. We lived on one suburb on the northeast side of Indianapolis. They live on a suburb on the southwest side, opposite end, a 55-minute drive. Hmm. They left work, came to our apartment, and basically camped out and were there to pray, to talk, to walk us through the challenges that we were having. I mean, literally, he was wearing my basketball shorts. I mentioned that part because they left work. He was in a suit and tie when he left, had no clothes, so Stefana offered him something to wear. They ended up spending the night, and they didn't leave until we had at least come to the point where we were able to communicate and get at least some solid footing to move forward through what we were going through. So that was life-saving, and there's many examples like that.
Wow, an amazing story, and we need to be those kinds of friends. That's amazing. Talking to Jackie Bledsoe, title of his book, The Seven Rings of Marriage, Your Model for a Lasting and Fulfilling Marriage. When we come back, we'll start to dig into these seven rings of marriage. We've got three copies to get into your hands today. We're not taking calls, so here's how we're doing it. I think you probably know the drill, but here it is. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put seven rings of marriage or seven rings in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. You'll go into a drawing. Three of you will win a copy of Jackie's great book. More with Jackie Bledsoe when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author, blogger, speaker, father, husband, man of God, Jackie Bledsoe. Title of his book, The Seven Rings of Marriage, Your Model for a Lasting and Fulfilling Marriage. Here's a quote from the opening pages. My wife and I, as well as many of our friends, were caught off guard with what happens in marriage. Had we known what we know now, we could have saved some headaches, some heartaches, and some marriages. I'd love for you just to say a word about that. What are some of the things just off the top of your head that you know now that you didn't know back then?
Yeah, that was eye-opening for us, and I think every couple goes through that point where you're just like, wow, I did not expect this. One is just the fact of that there are going to be challenges that don't necessarily originate from within your marriage, outside challenges. Kids are going to bring challenges when you have children. That's going to bring challenges. And just being unaware that, like I said, we didn't have a model for marriage to guide us through, and we learned the principles of God after we were married. So we were literally coming, two single people coming together, opposite ends of the spectrum as far as the way we grew up and things like that. And we also came into marriage with our first child, so we did things out of order. But as we went through it, we realized, okay, I have to focus, like I said earlier, that I was very selfish. I need to focus on meeting my wife's needs, and she needs to focus on meeting my needs, that there are going to be roles that we may not seem, there may be atypical roles as far as what a normal family or a normal husband and wife do, but everything within our marriage was brand new to us. We just hadn't been prepared for it, so we began to find out the hard way through experience, through making mistakes, through the frustrations that this person that seems so great when you said I do now is not as great as you thought they were, or vice versa. One of my quotes that I heard from a friend of mine is, what was appealing before marriage can become appalling in marriage. Hmm. So some of those things that you were attracted to very early in the dating stage, or even very early in your marriage, later on can be things that, you know, are appalling to you, that frustrate you. And we learned that. We thought it would always be as great as we were excited when we were getting ready to get married, but we found out it wasn't.
You said one of the most significant ways that you shored up your marriage all those years ago was by mutually embracing this conviction: divorce is not an option. How did you get to that place? And talk about the change that created, and even just how you function together.
Yes, I mentioned the couple that we took the class from at our church. That's when we learned that. You know, that was the first experience that we had when someone brought that up. And the approach that they taught us and we adopted was that, yes, divorce is not an option, but divorce is so seriously not an option that we don't play with it. We don't use the word. We don't entertain it. Divorce is literally, you know, we teach our kids their banned words in their English class. Well, that's a banned word for our household, is that divorce. So I get frustrated, you get frustrated, or we even playing, and we don't use divorce or separation in jest or in any type of a threat. It just is completely cut off from our vocabulary, from our mindset, and everything. So that basically means we've burned bridges. We've, you know, burned the boats. We blew up the bridges. We can't go back. So if we're having hard times, if we're struggling to connect, if we're struggling to make our marriage work, we have but one choice. That is to figure out how to move together in love, because we're not going the divorce route. And that was life-changing, marriage-changing for us, and it dictated everything else that we did going forward in our marriage.
And what a brave conviction to embrace. So these seven rings: engagement ring, wedding ring, discovering, persevering, restoring, prospering, mentoring. So fantastic. We've been married, my hubby and I just celebrated our 31st wedding anniversary. And I would just attest to this. This happens in marriage, in these different stages, phases we go through these. We've probably got about, I don't know, 4.5 minutes before the bottom of the hour break. Talk about how this idea and this perspective came to you for this book.
Yeah, and the Seven Rings of Marriage, I've been writing, blogging, as you mentioned, a professional blogger. So I'm used to seeing or hearing things and kind of put them in a mental database of an idea to further explore and research and write about. So actually one evening, I forgot why, I made a late store run, and I'm usually not out at that point, but I heard a pastor on the radio, and at the time I didn't know who it was. I just heard him preaching a sermon, non-marriage related, but in the midst of a sermon, he mentioned the four rings of marriage. So I heard that, and I was like, you know, that kind of stuck with me. And then as I was writing one evening, I asked Stefana to come and help me, and I wanted to explore the four rings and kind of go through our marriage and see how our marriage lines up with those rings or create our own. So we began to work, and as we talked about each stage of marriage, we would go through and find out what ring apply to that? And that's how we created it. So we sat down, Stefan and I was writing, we were conversing back and forth, and we created that based upon our marriage and the stages that we've gone through. So I shared that in the blog post, and it hit off really well with everyone who read it because they could relate. So just like you said, couples could attest, hey, we went through this, or we're wearing this ring right now. It was real life to them as well. So we knew that this was something that other people could relate to. And then as we dug deeper and continued to share it and just ask God to kind of pour into it and use it as something more, it grew into what it is right now.
And it's a beautiful book now. How wonderful. Okay, so talk about the engagement ring. What can we learn about that stage?
Yeah, the engagement ring is, you know, it's obvious. It is the engagement portion of your relationship. And, you know, it's really filled with hope, love, and possibility. So you're excited about all the potential happily ever after, all the things that you hope for in marriage. You're seeing it at that point during an engagement ring. But it's also a crucial point where you really need to focus on your foundation. This is the point where you build a foundation that your marriage will either grow on or tumble on top of because it wasn't strong enough. And our foundation is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we are in agreement that Jesus Christ is the guide of our life, and we will function within our marriage the same way. So that's the important thing. Whenever you're struggling in your marriage at any stage, especially the engagement ring, you need to make sure that solid foundation is laid. Because when you have disagreements and challenges later on, you want to be able to come back to one thing that will guide you both in making decisions.
You know something, Jackie, we live in this 5 minutes of fame society where, you know, our shame has become our glory. It's truly, you know, you look at the YouTube channels and with digital media, everybody wants to be a star for 5 minutes, it seems. And it's it can be unnerving, I guess. And you look around, some ways that's infiltrated marriage in that oftentimes couples approach the engagement ring and the wedding ring because they're looking forward to the day, the marriage, the wedding day, I should say, and not the marriage that follows. Say a word about that, because it's, you know, to me, we've worked with a lot of young people, and it's such a treasure when you find somebody who's saying, I'm excited for the day, but I'm preparing for the marriage. And I feel like we can help you because you're mature enough to think that this is a very, very big deal that I'm entering into. But some really, they want the party. They want that one day, and they're not thinking about what follows.
Yes, we prepare for the wedding day, but not the marriage. So the day we get married, that's the focus and that's the emphasis, whether it be the amount of money we spend or all the different things lining up the right people for us to be in our wedding party. All these different things, that's the focus. And I don't know the exact stats, but I know there's a huge amount of money invested in the wedding day and then a huge amount invested, or that actually not, I won't call it an investment, it costs to get a divorce. Mm-hmm. So the beginning of a marriage and the end of a marriage is the most money that we invest or put towards our marriage. So very few couples are investing for the actual marriage, for actually growing together. And we like to say marriage development. You know, you go to a job and you're expected to continue your professional development because they know when you continue your professional development, you're going to grow and get better at that. We don't have that same mindset in marriage. So that's what the focus needs to be, is not just focus on that particular day, but what's going to happen on day one of your marriage when you're together. And now we've got a plan to prepare for that going forward.
Talking to Jackie Bledsoe today about the seven rings of marriage. And when we return, we'll talk about wedding ring and discovering what happens when you start to get tired of the things that you once fell so in love with in your spouse. More with Jackie Bledsoe when we return. Tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Jackie Bledsoe about his book, The Seven Rings of Marriage, Your Model for a Lasting and Fulfilling Marriage. The seven rings, the engagement ring, the wedding ring, discovering, persevering, restoring, prospering, and mentoring. We've got three copies of this title to get into your hands. You can go in the drawing by emailing me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put seven rings in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. Your name will go into a drawing, and three of you will win a copy of Jackie's book. We touched on the wedding ring. I thought it was interesting, Jackie, before the break, how you said more money goes into the wedding day, and so the beginning of the marriage and then the end of the marriage through divorce, than does in the middle of preparing for marriage, of being sustained in marriage, of learning to love each other well. Say a word, if you would, about the wedding ring.
Yeah, the wedding ring is here. That's the commitment. Now it is official. You know, we've gone through the engagement ring. And, you know, to be honest, during the engagement ring, you're not in marriage, so that can be called off. But once we get into the wedding ring, that's the commitment that we've made for life. This is where we talked about earlier, divorce is not an option. But it's not a commitment that is conditional. You know, we're coming together as one before God. So it's a covenant, an agreement between us and God that we are going to do these things whether the other person does their promises or not. So we've committed and we've covenantly agreed with God that we're going to love each other, that we're going to remain in this relationship. It is binding between you and I, God, and my wife and I, that we're going to love, that we're going to remain together. We're going to go through the thick and thin, the ups and downs, the good, the bad, and all these different things. But it's truly about bringing two lives together as one. And, you know, that's when the challenges can begin as you do that. But the better you set your foundation and preparation in the engagement ring, the better those early years of your marriage can be once you commit to one.
All right. Talk about discovering.
Yeah, that is what I like to say is the real you. So when we were dating and even in the engagement period to a degree, I heard this from someone else, we are not dating one another. We're dating one another's representatives.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who is intended to make us look good, sound good, present our best foot forward, that's who we're dating at that point. Then once we get to the wedding ring and the commitment and into the discovering, when we're living day to day together, the representatives are fired and it's the real you. So
yeah, that's a sobering thing. So you say that one of the pitfalls in this time is kind of the temptation to let things get under your skin. And I realize that happens automatically unless we guard against it. So what's your advice? What's the best way you found to keep your heart pure towards your spouse?
Yeah, well, look at those differences and those things that may become appalling and try to understand them. So appreciate that they are different than you are. You know, someone once said, if two people are the same and marriage coming together, then one's not needed. So those differences are the things that probably attracted you early on when you were dating. And now it's just a matter of seeking to better understand him or her and the things that they do so that way we can get a better appreciation. But, you know, at this stage, the discovering, the main thing is that we want to become and make a practice of learning more about our spouse. So we want to become lifelong learners of our spouse. It starts right here and it doesn't end here. We should continue to do that on and on. And it's like that, you know, we're peeling back layers and layers over time. There's always going to be something new that we can learn if we're seeking it out.
And this is such a good point because when we've lived with someone for a while, we can think we know all there is, but we also can get stuck on those differences and the things, as your friend said, that once were appealing that seem appalling now. But to be keeping short accounts with our attitudes and our perspectives while we're maintaining a curiosity, because I'm not even the same person I was a month ago or a year ago. If we judge our spouse or we sum them up and we've decided to stop learning, if we've already made an assessment, right, wrong, or otherwise, we've stopped learning, haven't we?
Yes, we have. We got to continue to seek it out. You know, those two words, lifelong learner. I love that. You know, and that's the MO. That's the method of operation that we try to function in our household, not just in our marriage, but in our family as a whole, is that we never stop learning. God has always got something for us that he's trying to teach us. And if we have that type of attitude and that type of heart, especially within our marriage, then we can continue to grow. Then we continue to learn to love the new person that is becoming. And, you know, we impact one another in how we grow when we spend so many years together as well. You know, you said you're celebrating or celebrated 31 years. You have experienced a lot of life with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you're learning not just about him, but you're also learning about you. And that's one of the biggest things, too, is we want to discover us, good, bad, and ugly. And our wives, our husbands, can bring that out of us.
Indeed. Okay, we've covered three rings so far, engagement ring, wedding ring, discovering. Let's talk about persevering, because that's where oftentimes things break down.
Indeed. The Perseverant is the fourth ring, which is conveniently located in the right in the smack dab in the middle of all seven rings. So the Perseverant is really, that's the work. That's where you hear couples say marriage is hard work or marriage takes work. But I say that anything that is worthwhile in life takes work as well. But the Perseverant, you're really faced with the fork in the road. You know, you have encountered some challenges. Some people say you missed the suffering. Well, if the suffering is in the seven rings of marriage, it's right here in the persevering. Mm-hmm. But instead of using the suffering, I wanted to put a positive spin on it. So we are going to persevere through this. You know, suffering to me just sounds like, oh, man, it's just bad, it's ugly, it's not good. But when you think about persevering, you think about the growth. You think about going through something with the end. And when you come on the other side, you're better for it. So we have a fork in the road. We have some challenges that came to our marriage either externally or internally. They could be as serious as infidelity or a health issue to as minor as we just are having a hard time communicating and getting along. But we have to choose. Do we want to go to the right or do we want to go to the left? But we want to go through these things together. And that's what persevering is about, is knowing that the challenges that we face are going to bring about a certain amount of things that give us the growth and bring us to the level of maturity that God has intended for. So don't look at those challenges as bad things, but okay, Lord, you've given us an opportunity to grow and grow together.
Well, Scripture says quite a bit about perseverance, and it really is where maturity is developed, where holy grit is developed. But when we catch ourselves saying, I didn't sign up for this, that's right away we're giving ourselves an exit ramp to say, you know, as if this is about what you signed up for. I mean, truly, marriage is so much more, for better or for worse, than we can imagine as far as highs and lows. But we are transformed in the process if we can persevere. You write at one point you and Stefana had a challenging conversation about whether or not that she should move in to be with her mom. I'd love for you just to talk about that season of marriage, what you learned, what you chose, what you did.
Yeah, and that was during a period of time where we were going through financial problems and we were losing our home. And I don't know if that was right before or, you know, right after we lost our home. But it got to the point, and our kids were, I believe at the time, were homeschooled. So, and we are still homeschooling now. But we had the choice. Okay, I felt like I needed to, you know, it was my responsibility, and I needed to really, really hustle to try to get us back on our feet, you know, get whatever work I could get to bring income in here to provide for our family and our household. And I was concerned with them being taken care of. Okay, where are they going to be? Are they going to have everything they need? And I, in my mind, I just knew, okay, mom-in-law, go home to mother-in-law. I know she will take good care of everybody, and I will be the one that goes through the challenges and the grind for it. But we decided, and with counsel from my mother-in-law, that that was not the best option. One, I don't think either one of us wanted to do it, but it was just like, okay, we're faced with this. I don't know what to do. I can't have you going through what I'm going through to try to provide for our family, so let's do that. Mom-in-law said, no, it's not a great idea, and we both agreed as well that it was not a great idea, but we did consider that, and it was not divorce. It was not separation. It was, in my mind, I want to make sure my wife and my kids are safe and taken care of and have everything that they need, and in the meantime, I want to do everything I possibly can do to provide and get us out of this situation. So it sounded good, but at the end of the day, we didn't choose it through wisdom of mother-in-law and just us coming together in prayer as well.
And how'd you make it? What did you do initially then when you didn't have a place to live?
God opened many, many doors. So we were blessed with a family that opened their doors to allow us to stay with them. We literally, there was a period of time over that particular summer, I think it started maybe in early, late spring, but from April to October, we were living in other people's homes. I believe we went home with my mom-in-law for maybe a week or something like that. There was a family that is they're missionaries, and they were gone for 2 months out of the year, and they allowed us to stay in their home. So God just provided in ways that we didn't expect, and that let us know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll do exactly what it says in that word that I read earlier, with Joshua chapter 1, verse 9.
So important, Jackie, because you look at Scripture and the stories of when people decided to take matters into their own hands or grab quick or shortcut solutions always were met with, you know, catastrophic results, or at least results that cost them more than it helped them. And so to have the wisdom to to even to hear from your mother-in-law, to seek counsel and to do the harder thing ended up being the best thing. And boy, what a great example. A few lessons, Jackie, list in the book regarding perseverance is remember your promise, understand there will be issues, but work through them, be there, and accept your spouse as he or she is. Okay, the fifth ring is restoring. Talk about that one.
Yeah, the restoring, that is the fixing. That is where you've gone through the persevering, so you've had some challenges that may have rocked your marriage to the core. Again, those could be internally, externally, could be as serious as infidelity and health issues to minor communication. But now we've got some things that have, you know, broken hearts and broken pieces of our marriage. So we've now got to go through the restoration process to come back together, and that really is about forgiveness. So the persevering, it could be your spouse initiated whatever the thing was that brought you through those challenges or brought you to those challenges, or it could be you. But until your hearts are able to forgive, you can't begin to restore your broken hearts, your broken pieces of your marriage. So that foundation of that ring is really about, I forgive you and I understand you're going to make mistakes. And I'm going to make mistakes. We are sinners. We're going to make mistakes and continue to make mistakes, and we can't condemn one another for that. So we've got to have hearts of forgiveness to continue to go through and restore our marriage from that broken pieces.
You know, having covered this topic plenty of times on the show, Jackie, it's amazing the stories I've heard, and this would be our story as well, but those who persevere through that valley of the shadow and rebuild on the other side enjoy something in each other, unlike anything that we anticipated, whereas those who bail in that when it gets hard and then they think my answer is to find a different spouse end up with twice, if not four times, the baggage. And truly, stats show that the marriage satisfaction is quantifiably greater for the couples who do persevere and they rebuild, because there's a deeper trust and they've built something together and they've hung in there and the small things stay the small things. Have you found that to be true as well?
Indeed, it has been true. And, you know, and you mentioned those that don't hang in there and aren't able to persevere. They go and try to find something else. Well, the challenge is that the same issues, the root issues within themselves are still there.
Yeah.
So now they're going to go somewhere else that's going to have the nose. But, yes, sticking together and going through that. I mean, I don't want to jump ahead, but we'll talk about the prospering. Is some of our greatest challenges have been some of the greatest times of our marriage because we had to come together. I mean, a lot of the things that we do today in our marriage are because we were forced to do them when we were going through the homeless period and the financial challenges. I remember people would say, we always see you guys together, speaking of my wife and I. And they didn't know at the time that, you know, we were down to one car, or the family that allowed us to stay with them lived literally on the other side, suburb on the other side of town in our area. And so when we went somewhere to make a run, we had to go together because
Amazing.
We may have multiple different runs for everybody to do it. And then we would be in one room, or, you know, we'd get together, time to eat. We always had dinner together. You know, a lot of those things were forced together because, you know, we were in this small area, whatever it may be. So we spent that time together, which now our family dinner table is a big thing to us. We get together for meals, multiple meals per day. We still like to go and do things together. Even our kids, our teenager, she's 15, has not gotten tired of spending time with us and our family because it's the culture that was created. When we were forced by circumstances we didn't have the luxury to go one way and the other, or, you know, we had one car, everybody had to ride, and you had to go or you had to sit at home. Most of the time that was not an option.
That's amazing. When we come back, we'll cover the last two, the sixth and seventh ring, prospering and mentoring, talking to Jackie Bledsoe. More with him in a moment. Hope you're having a fantastic day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to professional blogger, author, speaker Jackie Bledsoe. Title of his book is The Seven Rings of Marriage, Your Model for a Lasting and Fulfilling Marriage. These seven rings are the engagement ring, the wedding ring, discovering, persevering, restoring. We're going to talk now for this last segment, prospering and mentoring. Want you to know we do have three copies. I'd love to get one into your hands today. You can do this easy. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put seven rings in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. Three of you will win a copy of this great book. Okay, let's talk, Jackie, about prospering. Talk about that season, that phase of marriage.
Prospering is that's the goal that we looked at early on in marriage through the engagement ring and the wedding ring when we looked ahead with hope and love and possibility. That's what we're all looking for. We're looking to the point where we are prospering in our marriage and our relationship, where things just seem to be clicking on all cylinders, and it's great. Now, that doesn't mean everything is perfect all the time. That doesn't mean that we don't experience and go through challenges that come from external or also within the relationship as well. But now, after we've gone through five of the rings and successfully grown closer together through those things, now we're able to handle the challenges and the issues as they come up in a better and more mature way than we were before. And that's really what prospering is about. When we mentioned earlier in the restoring and the persevering, is some of the most challenging times in our marriage were some of those that we look back now and are some of the most prosperous times in our marriage. Because we came together, and then really, I think this is what really does it, is that we saw God's hand in our marriage and our relationship and in our family, and that's an amazing thing when you see that and when you experience that.
Hmm. Talk about how your friendships have evolved in this prospering season, because they, you know, your fruit is their fruit is your fruit, because you decided to be in the trenches together, and you're all a little older and a little wiser now. How have those friendships been impacted throughout this?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when we first were married, our circle of friends was no married couples and primarily single couples, and not everybody with a heart for Jesus. So as we've grown and developed these relationships over time, we've developed some relationships that are, you know, as close as brothers and sisters. And matter of fact, one relationship that we have is with a couple that we've been friends with that we met in our new members class of the church that we mentioned way back when we came together in that marriage class. So we met this couple through the teacher, the minister of that class, and to the point where they're like family to us. So we have relationships that will call when we need some accountability, they'll be there. When we need some encouragement, they'll be there. But, you know, that particular family, we spend holidays together. Our kids are, they call each other cousins. We call their family uncle and aunt and all those different things. But it came through seeing and going through all these trials together, living life together transparently, again, being accountable. And, you know, brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ are not going to let me go out and hang out and leave because I'm frustrated with my wife without coming home to someone there to be accountable for. You know, had I come home that night and that couple might not have been there, maybe we would have been in the same boat. Hmm. But now I've got someone who's like, hey, this is not how you're supposed to be as a husband. This is not how you're supposed to love your wife. Someone to call me accountable. So we really cherish those relationships that we have. And, you know, as you grow older and you know, some people move away, but you still have those relationships. The single connection is our relationship with Christ first. And that is an amazing thing when you connect with other believers and you walk life together.
Indeed. Okay, so the seventh final ring here, mentoring. Talk about that one.
Mentoring is, that's the payback. That is when you are giving back because you have received from someone else who's been a blessing to your relationship, to your marriage. So this is where, you know, you start to share what you've learned. You know, and I looked at it as this, I mentioned earlier about divorce being one of the foundation or one of the big things in our marriage that kept us going. I would say there was a point where we reached probably somewhere around the persevering, restoring, a point in our marriage where we knew, okay, divorce is not an issue. We believe it. We adopted the, we're not going to joke about it. We're not going to play about it. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to consider it. So we're over that hump. And then God brought us to this point where we realized that our marriage is bigger than us. Our marriage, just like we said, marriage is not for you. Our marriage is just not about us. All those things that we went through, that we were challenged with relationally, financially, family, all these different areas, God allowed those to happen because he wanted to work something through us that we could later share with someone else. And that's where you are with the mentoring. And it may not be professional blogger author, speaker, pastor at the church, or whatever. Maybe it may not be that. It may just start one-on-one with couples, or it may start with you teaching your children, being their mentor as they're growing to be prepared for marriage. But I just feel like it is almost a crime to go through what we've gone through in marriage, or anyone else has gone through something, and God has brought them through, and to not share those experiences with other people to help them.
Mm, so true. About 12 years ago, we met a couple. They're about a decade older than us, and they were behind-the-scenes people, but deeply, profoundly godly, just walked intimately with the Lord, more behind-the-scenes types. But the way that they walked with God, the way that they managed their finances, and the way that they managed their time, because Kevin and I had more of an upfront kind of out there ministry, we pursued them and we asked, can we have dinner? And that blossomed into a mentor-mentee relationship where we still, 12 years later, have candlelight dinner with them once a month. And there's not structure. Would they just make us a candlelight dinner and we sit down and we catch up? And they're just the dearest of friends. But it's absolutely amazing because we just end up talking about what's on our hearts. We close the night in prayer. And we pour into younger couples as well, but I can't even tell you how we've matured by just asking questions about those three very significant areas, because those are areas that where people break down oftentimes in management of time and connection with the Lord and management of finances. I'm forever grateful. I'd love to you're going to have you pray here in a couple of minutes, but I got to read this from your book. You said, when you commit to marriage, you're talking to hubbies here, you have a responsibility. First to God, your wife, and the children you bring into that marriage. Then you have a responsibility to everybody else looking at your marriage. I love that amazing charge. Jackie, would love for you just to say a word to the men listening today. We have as many men listening to this show today as we do women. What if you could just have coffee with this gentleman listening today, what would you say to him?
Yeah, I'll share a quick story and go more into it. But there was a friend of mine, he's a guy, and he just, I don't know what conversation we were having at the time, but he came to me and he said, the day you and Stefana get a divorce is the day I stop believing in marriage. And that just knocked me off my feet, because at the time, our marriage, we were in the persevering. We were struggling in our marriage. But from him outside, he's seen it, and he was given hope and inspiration, so much so that if we ever divorced, he was going to lose hope in this thing called marriage. So that was it was humbling first. And, I really wanted to say, if you could live with us for a minute, you would quickly take that statement back. But, we have this responsibility. We have this call, and we don't recognize it all the time. There are people watching us in our marriage, the way we walk, the way we interact with our wives, the way we interact with our kids. And God has called us into this marriage relationship as leaders to walk that out in the relationship with Christ in the church. That is the relationship that we're mirroring. So not only does it impact another marriage, but it could also impact someone's relationship and someone's kingdom relationship with Christ and the church. So we want to make sure that we are just steadily doing the things that God has asked us to do and not taking it lightly. And I think that's the thing, is sometimes we can go and we're just naive to how important it is and how it impacts other people outside of our four walls. But there's an impact that goes greater than that. And God has called us to that. A friend of mine told me, he did some research, and he said in the Hebrew, the word husband means champion.
Wow.
So immediately, once we say, I do, we have become the champion of our family. And now we're to represent as champions as we go out and minister and talk and meet with other people. So don't take it lightly.
Amen.
Accept that call.
I want to just say thank you for being a man's man and daring to charge men in a humble, strong, and godly way. I love what God is doing in and through you. We just have a moment here wondering if you pray for that gentleman listening today who doesn't feel like a champion, maybe isn't really enjoying the respect of his wife, but he knows he needs to rise up. Would you pray for him today?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you first, to have this great thing, this great institution, this great relationship that you created in marriage, where two can become one, where we can mirror the relationship between Christ and the church. I pray for those guys out there who may not be satisfied, may not be connecting with their spouses the way that they hope for. For them to not lose hope, for them to count it all joy when they fall into the various trials within their marriage, knowing that this is going to produce faith, faith and patience is going to have its perfect work. But Lord, I just want to encourage them right now that, one, they're not alone. They're not the husband that has the wife who's got this challenge. They're not the couple that the only couple that has these challenges. But they're in it together with a group of other husbands, a group of other champions who are working to love their wives, to lead and raise their kids in a way that gives you glory and points their hearts to you, and to honor you through this thing called marriage. I would just ask you to give them strength and courage. Let them know that you'll never leave them, forsake them. Well, you've given them a set of instructions within your word that will always be there for them when they need direction. So we give it to you now in Jesus' name.
Amen. You've been listening to Live the Promise. Meet us back here next time. God bless your day.